In today's shiur, we're going to talk about a story about a conversation between the Caesar, the Caesar, and Rabbi Gamliel. We're going to talk about a conversation between a heretic and Rabbi Ami. And then we're going to finish with a brief story between a heretic and a hunchback. We'll begin in the last line of Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Amud Beis. Omar Le Caesar, the Rabbi Gamliel. So the Caesar, it may not refer to actually Caesar, the emperor himself, but probably a chash of an important Roman official. He said, Amriso de Shachvi Chaya. You Jews say that those who are dead are going to live again. He says, Ha havu afra. V'afra mi kachaya. He said, I understand. Dead people turn to dust. Does dust come back to life? So before Rabbi Gamliel got a chance to answer, Amra Le Brate, the daughter of the Caesar of Caesar, said to Rabbi Gamliel, Shavke, leave him alone, leave my dad alone. Vada Mahadran Ale, I'll respond to him. And this is her response to him. Shnei Yolchim Yesh Bi Reinu. Let's say there are two people who create or manufacture kalim vessels in our town. Echad Yolchim Yesh Bi Reinu, Echad Yolchim Yesh Bi Reinu. One of them creates vessels from water and one does it from mud. Eze mehen mishubach, which one is considered praiseworthy, which one is better? Amar la zesh yotze min hamayim, the one who's able to create kalim, vessels out of water. Wow, that's very impressive. To create a vessel out of a kli, of teat, out of mud, that obviously that's a substance, that has mud has shape. So to create a kli that from something that has a shape, so that's a good job, that's impressive. But someone who can create a kli out of water, wow, water does not take shape. It takes the shape of whatever container it's in. So if you can create a kli out of that, that's obviously more praiseworthy. So Amra lo, the daughter said to her father, Min hamayim tzar, Hashem created man from water. Min havtit lo kol shekein, certainly from mud, from dirt, certainly he should be able to. In other words, God created man mitipa sucha, from the semen, from a drop, which is like water. If God can do that, certainly he can create man after he is dust, like mud. So that's how she responded. Now, Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they said this story was a little bit different, that the daughter of the Caesar gave the following kavachomer. He said, kavachomer mikli zchuchis. It's kavachomer from a glass vessel. Maklis chuchisha amalan bruach basar v'dam nishpu yeshlam takara. When it comes to a glass utensil, that they are glasses are made through that man blows air, and that's how into sand, and then it gets its form through man's efforts, and. And if the glass breaks, you can fix it. You can melt it, the piece of glass together. You can create a kli. You can create a glass vessel again. Baser v'dam shebarucha shel kadosh baruch hu. A man of flesh and blood that was created by the spirit, by the breath of God, as it were. The Torah says, v'yipach b'apav nishpas ruachayim, that God blew the spirit of life into man. Alas kam v'kama. Certainly, it can come back. He can bring back to life after he dies. So what's fascinating about the story, first of all, is that the fact that the daughter of the Caesar responded to her father sort of teaches us that non-Jews at that time were interested in Judaism. Rabbi Gamliel lived after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Maybe the world was starting to grow out of paganism. It's before Christianity really took hold by the Roman Empire. So but people are interested in new forms of thinking, and they're interested in Judaism. Now, it's fascinating that the question of the Caesar is, how is it physically possible for the dust or a dead person to come back to life? So this is a scientific question. The answer could have simply been, well, it's a miracle. But the daughter doesn't give that answer. She says, if a person can come from this water, then certainly she can come from dust. And so first of all, There are two different parables, two different kavachomers, two different mishalim. The Aruch HaNer says that according to the first parable, the first Kal Vachomer, there we're talking about creating Kalim from water versus from dirt, from mud. So here, the Aruch Lener writes that all this shows is that perhaps that maybe you can resurrect an animal. But what about a human being, which has a neshama? Who says you can do that? So that's why we bring the Kal Vachomer from the clay zchuchis, from the glass kli. Because what do you do? Shenofchim, says Aruch Lener, shenofchim b'socho beruach basar v'dam. You're blowing in it the ruach, the air, from a person of flesh and blood. So certainly, in Adam, who has the neshama that comes from God, v'yipach ba'ap of nisho aschayim, so certainly he can come back from life, from death. So the reason why we have the advantage of the second parable, the second story, or second example, is that that's specifically talking about, or referred to maybe a Jew, a human being. Perhaps the Ein Eliyahu says that the Torah is compared to a glass vessel. So maybe the second mashal is telling us that maybe only the righteous will be resurrected. That only like a clay, only a kli that's full of Torah will be resurrected. We saw in the previous shir that Machlokes Rishonim, well, does everyone have the potential to be resurrected? Or does every Jew have the potential to be resurrected? Only the righteous. The Rambam thinks only the righteous. So this may relate to that question. Rabik thinks that in this story, the Roman represents rationality. And the purpose of the story is to tell us that life is no less miraculous than resurrection. We think, oh, resurrection is such a miracle, but daily life is not such a miracle. The point of this story is to say, what are you talking about? Resurrection is no more miraculous than daily life. And perhaps this conversation demonstrates that the natural world is amazing. Things that we take for granted is amazing. The birth of human beings is amazing. It's miraculous, but since we're used to it, we experience this constantly, we don't view it as a miracle, but it is. So that's perhaps what the first parable tells us. The second parable about the glass that's broken can be fixed. So to life that was created by God, if it's broken, can also be fixed. So that tells us that death is a broken vessel, and resurrection is fixing that broken vessel. And that really tells you that death is a tragedy. Death is brokenness. Sometimes some thinkers take the view that this world's only a prelude to the next world, and we're only here against our will. We really should be in the next world. Okay, well, now that we're here in this world, we should do what we can, do Torah and mitzvot. But the real goal is the next world. It's not a real tragedy, perhaps, when we die. But no, the point of comparing it to a glass that's broken is that death is a broken vessel. Resurrection is a repair on the damages that happened to the human being. The human being was broken, as it were. That's why he died. And then when we're resurrected, we're fixing that which happened to a human being. This idea that we've spoken about in previous shiurim, that really when we're resurrected, potentially that's to finish the job that we started. When we were living, and then we die without finishing everything that we had to do, but we come back to life, and we come back to life, we are fixing, we're repairing the brokenness that happened after we die. So that's the first story, the Caesar to Rabban Gamliel. Now we have another story of a heretic speaking to Rabbi Ami. And the story goes like this: Amar Leahu Mina. So there was a heretic who basically said to Rabbi Ami, Amrisa the Shafi Chaye, you see that the dead will come back to life. How could that be? But when they die, they're like dust, and does dust come back to life? Amar Le, Rav Ami respond back to him, Em Shalach Hamash, I'm going to tell you a parable. Lama Adav Ardoma, what is this matter similar to? Lamelech Basar Vadam Shamar La Avadav, to a king of flesh and blood who says to his servants, Lechu Benuli Palterin, go and build for me a palace. I'm Palterin Gedolim, a large palace, but Makom Shein Maim Vafar, in a place where there's no water or dirt. Halchu Banu also, so they went and they built this palace. Liyamim naflua. So after some time, the palaces fell down. Amar lahem, the king said back to them, Chizru banu also b'makom sheish afar mayim. He said to them, return and build it in a place where there is mud, where there is dirt and water. We can't. The king got angry. He said to them, in a place where there's no water and dirt, you managed to build the palaces, even though it was difficult. So now that there's water and dirt, certainly you should be able to build the palace. And again, the parable seems to be the nimshal. That's the parable. The nimshal. What's it comparing to? That if God can create the world, now there's two ways to look at this. Maybe if it's either Rashi has two different opinions. If God can create man from nothing, right, when there's a makom where there's no water or dirt, then it's from a tipa srucha, from a drop of semen. If that's nothingness, or maybe Rashi has a second explanation. It's referring to Hashem created the world from tohu vavohu. There was first nothingness in the world. So if God created the world from nothingness, so then certainly He can recreate man from dust, from the dirt, from the dust of man, right? So that's the parable. And then Rabbi Ami continues, and he says, "Ve'im iatamamin." And if you don't believe that God can do this, "Tela bikara'e achbar shehayom chetzio basar v'chetzio adama." Go to the valley, and you'll see this type of weasel, that type of mouse, or this type of vermin that today he's half flesh and half animal, half flesh and half ground, or half earth. Lamachar hishrit v'nasikula basa, and the next day he becomes fully flesh. And then he says, Shema Tomer, maybe you'll say, Lizman Meruba, that maybe it takes a long time for God to do this. Not true. Alei lahar, go up to the mountain. Reisha yom ein bo ela chilazon echad. Go up to the mountain and see that today there's only one chilazon. Lamachar yardu geshavim v'dis malei kula chel zonos. Next day rain comes down and the mountain is entirely full of chilazons or chel zonos. So his proof, his scientific proof to the heretic is the fact that these insects or these vermin or the mice, that not insects, these vermin, these mice, the weasel, that these creatures that are half flesh, half dirt, becomes fully flesh. And then the second additional proof that it can happen very quickly is the fact that one chilazon turns into many chilazons. So a couple of points here. So again, this is a similar question, the heretic said. How can dust come back to life? It's irrational. And he says, no, it's natural. Same idea that even on earth, what we see, that we some things we take for granted, they're also amazing miracles. Resurrection is no more of a miracle. It's because we don't see it now, but it's no more miraculous than life on earth today. But the proof from the insect that was, or the mouse, or that was, it was created through spontaneous generation from the ground, right? We had this, he brings a proof from an achbar that was half flesh and half ground, and next day it became, at some point later, it became fully flesh. Now, this belief in spontaneous generation was believed in the days of the Gemara, and it was believed throughout most of the Middle Ages, and even to the modern era. It was challenged in the 17th and 18th century and is finally disproved in the 19th century by Louis Pasteur. And this idea of spontaneous generation is based on the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf, Kuf Chavav Amud Beis, says that Achbar Shechetzio Basar Vechetzio Adama, an insect or mouse or some kind of creature that's half flesh and half ground, Hanogeb Basar Tamei Ba'adama Tahar. So let's say you touch this creature, so if you touch the flesh part of it, you become tameh. Is it like a dead achbar? But if you touch the dirt part of it, you're tahor, because that's not the animal part. So Rashi says, and in this Gemara, he says that there's this type of achbar, she'eno para urava elameyatzva nosabadama. It doesn't grow through procreation, but it grows from the ground. And it's like kashba, like you find many worms in the garbage. So there was this belief that it's spontaneously generated. The Rambam writes in the commentary in the Mishnah Chulin, Perek Tes, Mishnah Vav, he writes that it's a Sipur Mefursama'o, this kind of phenomenon is a famous story of Ein Mispar L'Rabim Asher Amru Li Shiro also. And there, I can't tell you how many people told me that they saw this. Metzias Bal Chai Kazehu Davar Mafli, and this, the existence of this creature that so what is a wondrous thing. Sheila Daslo Hesper Klal. There's no explanation to this at all. I think the point is again that resurrection is natural. It's not the ultimate miracle. It's part of nature. Again, whether spontaneous generation is scientifically correct or not, what is correct is that, or the point of this Gemara is the belief that resurrection is natural. It's not irrational. I'm sorry, and that resurrection is not irrational. Resurrection expresses the true nature of the world. God created nature. Life doesn't decay as much as you think. It's all natural. God creates. God does a lot of wonderful things in this world. Some things we see, some things we don't see now. But resurrection is just part of that natural world. Now, the second piece of the story is about the Chilazon. Now, there's a debate amongst the Rishonim as to what this Chilazon is. Rashi here says that the Chilazon is a tolas sheyotze min hayam. It's this kind of worm or snail, this worm that emerges from the sea, echad l'shivim shana, once every 70 years, v'tzovim b'damo t'cheles, and we use its dye for t'cheles. That's the chilazon. Nowadays, some people you have t'cheles on their tzitzis and their talesim. So it comes from the chilazon, that it uses its dye for t'cheles. Now, not everyone agreed that this chilazon in our Gemara refers to that chilazon that produces the t'cheles. For example, the Yad Ramah says, can't be, because that how could it be that this came from the sea and then all of a sudden you find it in the mountain, right? The Gemara says that it starts off at the sea and then they go up to the mountain. There are hundreds of them. It doesn't make sense. And this only comes once every 70 years. Is that really true? And he also says the Argamara seems to indicate that the eggs of the chilazon, that the chilazon comes from the ground, from spontaneous generation. And this doesn't seem to be correct. It seems that the chilazon eggs actually the chilazon comes from chilazon eggs. And so the Yad Ramah says, based on a different explanation, the Aruch says that a chilazon is not the tcheles chilazon. It's a different type of creature that comes from the ground and from water. And it's called in Arabic chilazum. And it's a type of locust. The Talmud Yerushalmi translates the word yarash hatzlatzal when it talks about in the Tochacha in Parshki Savo, that there will be Tzlatzal, that says that this is, or Targum Yonason said that's the Chilazon. So there are different opinions of what the, is this Chilazon, is the Chilazon from the Tcheles, or is it a different type of Chilazon? Now, there is an inconsistency between different Rashis. Our Rashi says the Chilazon comes from the sea. The Gemara and Chulin says it comes from the ground. Now, the Radvaz says that the chilazon is found in the sea and it comes from the sea to the dry land, and then people gather it in the dry land. So maybe that's what Rashi's saying, that on one hand it comes from the sea and then it moves to the dry, then it gathers in the, and lives in the dry land. Now, from the Gemara and Megillah tells us that the kleis chuchis, glass, kelim, vessels, and the chilazon, that was the last story in the chilazon, in this story, both grow, or both are found in the portion of Zevulun. Why are they found in the portion of Zevulun? So again, the Iyun Yaakov says that the pasuk, based on the pasuk, which says, v'atem advekim b'ashem elokecha, chaim kulchem hayom, that kol ha'mahana tamen chacham min hachasim, who gives from his property to a Talmid Chacham, Zochel Tchiyas HaMeisim. He gets his chus, he gets the merit of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Zvulun, we know, Smach Zvulun B'tzei Sechav Yisachar Ba'olecha. What did Zvulun do? Zvulun supported Yisachar's learning. And because of that, he supported him, so therefore, he had two items that grew, or two things that grew in his portion in Eretz Yisrael, the glass and the chilazon, which symbolize Tchiyas HaMeisim, because he fulfilled this mitzvah of being mahana Talmid Chacham min chasa, from giving to the Talmid Chachamim from his property. Now, the question is in a few hundred years ago, there was the discussion about whether we can have tcheles nowadays from, and depending on if we know what the identity of the chilazon is. There's a psikza sutrata, which tells a story of Yossi, who meets a guy who apparently supports himself from the chilazon, and he mentions that there's a place where there are lizards there, and they're sort of guarding the chilazon, so very few people can get to the chilazon. And essentially he says that the chilazon is reserved. It's ganuz letzadikim lasilavo. It's only for tzadikim in the future. In the 1880s, Rav Gershon Henoch Leiner, the Raziner Rebbe, set out to identify the chilazon species. So he took a certain view of what the tcheles was. He thought it came from cuttlefish. However, others felt that it was what's called the murex shell. The Gemara in Menachos states that the appearance of the body of the chilazon is like the sea, its form is like that of the fish. And in fact, therefore, there was this belief that the shape of the murex shell is, of the murex snake, snail, is similar to the shape of a standard fish. So that's why, not according to Raziner, but others thought that it is the murex, the murex trunculus. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it well, the murex trunculus. And it's considered a tala'at. It's a worm, as Rashi says. It is a tala'as that has a twisted coil. It's also found in a different, I think in the Gemara, and Menacho said it's a worm with a twisted coil. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that there was a story about someone said he found the chilazon, he made chilas, and many people followed him, but he didn't listen to the Goli Ador. And v'nispatel adavar ad ki yavo goel tzedek b'yamenu amen. And we're not gonna have the chilazon until the final redeemer comes, so until Mashiach comes. So we're not gonna have a chilazon. We're not gonna have tcheles because we don't really know what the chilazon is. But obviously now there is a big movement to believe that the chilazon comes from the murex trunculus, and that's the, and then they get the tcheles from that. Now, okay, so. Yeah, so in any case, but again, that's the same idea that this all comes from nature. The chilazon, this achbor that's half flesh, half adama, again, all part of nature. Nature is miraculous. So resurrection is also miraculous, but not so much more so than nature as it stands nowadays. Final story, we'll spend a couple of minutes on it, is a story about a heretic and a hunchback. So this heretic said to a Jewish sage whose name was Gavia ben Psisa. They said he's ben Psisa because he was hunchback. So he's called Gavia ben Psisa because he was a hunchback. And the reason, the connection with the name is Gibain, maybe is similar to Gibain is similar to the word is similar perhaps this idea of being crippled. So this heretic says to him, Vailachon Chayava Damrisan Mise Chayin. He says, woe to you wicked people that you say that the dead are going to live again. The Chayin Basin. That if those who are living are going to die, the Misa Chaya, how could it be that those who are dead are going to live again? So what's interesting here about this heretic is he didn't merely say that the Jews or that the believers were ignorant. He called them wicked. And this is, he said that his belief is corrupt. This is the argument of the militant rationalist. And there's those who don't believe in the contemporary beliefs are not really ignorant, but they are corrupt. So the Amar Le, Gevir Ben Psis, is back to Vailachon Chayava. Woe to you, wicked people, the Risen Meisei Lochayin. You say that the dead aren't going to come back to life. The Lo Havu Chaye, because if those who aren't born yet can live, the Havu Chaye, those who are currently living, Lokol Shekain, certainly they can come back to life. And there's those who are living and that will die, certainly come back to life. Those who weren't in existence at all can be created. So those who are living certainly can be recreated. So in other words, the hunchback's argument is that human generation is a greater wonder than human regeneration. And his idea again is that life perseveres. And that's natural and normal. And that death is only temporary. Now, then what happens? So then the heretic Omar Le Chayava Karishali, you're calling me wicked. The heretic first called the hunchback wicked. Now, so when he responds and calls the heretic a wicked, I says, you're calling me a wicked person. Ika imna, if I get up there in Tchias Ames, if I rise, I'm going to kick you, upashitna lak muschach minach, and I'm going to straighten out your hunchback and make you straight. Amar Le, Gevir Ben Psis, said back to him, imata osi, and if you do that, wow, rofe uban tikra, you're going to be called a professional doctor, v'sachar beit titol, and you're going to get a lot of money because people want to hire you. You'll be such a great doctor. In other words, he's kind of saying like human beings have so much less power than God. You're out of your league. Like, you really think you can do that? You can't do this. And again, his point is that nature is far more miraculous than the abilities of human beings, right? You think that you can, make me move straight. No, God's ability to resurrect the dead is far greater than your ability to be a wonderful doctor. There's God's ability is so much greater. And God's ability, but more of nature, God's ability to create life and to regenerate life, nature, is more miraculous than your ability. You think that you can make me walk straight again. Nature is more miraculous than the abilities of human beings.